We are in 2 Kings chapter 17 today. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Kings chapter 17 verse 1. In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, Hoshea, son of Elah, became king of Israel in Samaria. And he reigned 9 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but not like the kings of Israel who preceded him. Well, Hoshea actually was the northern kingdom's final king. And he wasn't good, but he wasn't quite as bad as the other ones that they had, but it was too little, too late. Nothing can save this country now. They're going down the tubes real quick. Verse 3, Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up to attack Hoshea, who had been Shalmaneser's vassal, and had paid him tribute. But the king of Assyria discovered that Hoshea was a traitor, for he had sent envoys to So, king of Egypt, and he no longer paid tribute to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore Shalmaneser seized him and put him in prison. Ahaz was the wicked king of the south at this time, and he may have been worse than Hoshea, the king of the north. But anyway, the fact is, the king of Assyria attacks the northern kingdom of Israel and demands money. Instead of paying, Hoshea, the king of Israel, asked Egypt to help them against Assyria. And that really angered the king of Assyria. So he attacks Israel and imprisons King Hoshea. Plus he started to take the Israelites into captivity. And this is just the beginning. Verse 6, in the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and deported the Israelites to Assyria. He settled them in Hala and Gozan on the harbor river and in the towns of the Medes. All this took place because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up out of Egypt from under the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They worshipped other gods. And so God saved Israel from slavery in Egypt, but they were not grateful. Oh, maybe for a little while they were, but it was very short-lived. They soon forgot how good God had been to them. And then, after they forgot, the downward spiral, spiritually speaking, began, until it ended up when they were taken into captivity, as Assyria is beginning to do right here. Verse 8. It says, they worshipped other gods and followed the practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before them, as well as the practices which the kings of Israel had introduced. God gave Israel that land so that they would be holy, and so that they would be blessed too, and so that they would influence the heathen nations around them to move toward the one true God. Instead, the Israelites became more and more like the heathen. They allowed the heathen to influence them. Verse 9. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. From watchtower to fortified city, they built themselves high places in all their towns. And the secret things which Israel was not supposed to do involved the occult and witchcraft, something strictly forbidden by the word of God. Verse 10. They set up sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. And so they attempted to follow the religion of God, publicly anyway. Meanwhile, they practiced their heathen religion throughout the country on every high place that they built. And there were many of them scattered throughout the land. And so they were trying to have it both ways. Verse 11, at every high place they burnt incense, as the nations whom the Lord had driven out before them had done. They did wicked things that provoked the Lord to anger. Incense was supposed to be burnt only to God, and only by the priest, and only in the temple. It was a holy thing. that the Israelites used for unholy purposes. They burned it on their high places to their heathen deities. 12. They worshipped idols, though the Lord had said, "You shall not do this." Anything that is more important to a person than God is an idol. And like people today, the Israelites had many idols. 13. The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers, "Turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your fathers to obey and that I delivered to you through my servants the prophets." That was the command. It was crystal clear. The Israelites could not say, "But God, we didn't know any better. We didn't know right from wrong. We didn't know what pleased you and what did not please you." God warned them many times, so they are without excuse. 14. But they would not listen, and were as stiff-necked as their fathers who did not trust in the Lord their God. They were arrogant before God instead of humble. God wanted to bless them, but they would not obey, so he couldn't. 15. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he made with their fathers and the warnings he had given them. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, "Do not do as they do." And they did the things the Lord had forbidden them to do. God chose Israel to be an example of holiness. Instead, they lived in sin. They wanted to be like everyone else, like all the nations who did not know God. And so they were. Verse 16, they forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and made for themselves two idols cast in the shape of calves and an Asherah pole. They bowed down to all the starry hosts and they worshipped Baal. The golden calves made by the north's first king, Jeroboam, were originally to be a representation of Almighty God. But it was wrong to make those images and say, "This is our God." God had forbidden such things. And really, what it was a step in the wrong direction, spiritually speaking. It was a step toward worse and worse idolatry. 17. They sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire. They practiced divination and sorcery and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. They practiced magic and witchcraft, and they called it good. "Oh, this is no problem. This is perfectly consistent with the religion of God Almighty." That's the kind of stuff that they were saying, thinking. But it wasn't good. It is not good. It is spiritism that does not honor God. Nor does it have God for the focus. It is wrong. And these people, they even offered, secretly of course, offered their children as human sacrifices. Verse 18. So the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his presence. Only the tribe of Judah was left. The 10 northern tribes were taken captive by Assyria. They were scattered around the heathen nations of the world. They never became a nation again. Judah and Benjamin, which actually made up the one tribe, the southern kingdom, Judah, they were the southern kingdom, and they were all that remained of the nation Israel. The rest is gone. 10 northern tribes, 10 of the 12 tribes gone, scattered throughout the nations, scattered by Assyria. 19. And even Judah did not keep the commands of the Lord their God. They followed the practices Israel had introduced. Judah had some good kings to go along with some bad kings, so they lasted longer as a nation than the northern 10 tribes, but they were just as sinful as the north at times. 20. Therefore the Lord rejected all the people of Israel. He afflicted them and gave them into the hands of plunderers, until he thrust them from his presence. God warned many times. But Israel would not listen. They would not keep his commandments. They actually turned their backs on God to follow false gods. So God turned his back on them. And they were dispersed. 21. When he tore Israel away from the house of David, they made Jeroboam, son of Nebat, their king. Jeroboam enticed Israel away from following the Lord and caused him to commit a great sin. Jeroboam really got everything started in the wrong direction. He led the north into calf worship. He's the one that got things going in the wrong direction. And they just kept on getting worse as time went by. 22. The Israelites persisted in all the sins of Jeroboam and did not turn away from them. Every king who succeeded Jeroboam had the authority to get rid of those golden calves, but none of them did. Verse 23. Until the Lord removed them from his presence, as he warned through all his servants the prophets. So the people of Israel were taken from their homeland into exile in Assyria, and they are still there. They had many chances to repent, but they did not want to. And so they forced God's justice. You know, he had to punish them because he is holy. He couldn't just overlook their sin. He gave them opportunities to repent, but he couldn't just simply overlook it because he is just. Verse 24. The king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Kuta, Ava, Hamath, Sepharvaim, and settled them in the towns of Samaria to replace the Israelites. They took over Samaria and lived in its towns. Samaria here refers to the northern kingdom, by the way. Assyria takes Israel captive, and with their own people, they live in the cities of the north. They move their own people in and fill the cities that the Israelites emptied when they were taken captive. Verse 25. When they first lived there, talking about the Assyrians, they did not worship the Lord. So he sent lions among them, and they killed some of the people. The Assyrians thought they could move in into that land and live any way that they pleased. They soon found out that the Holy Land is a special place to God. Verse 26. It was reported to the king of Assyria, "The people you deported and resettled in the towns of Samaria do not know what the God of that country requires. He has sent lions among them, which are killing them off, because the people do not know what he requires." The Assyrians believed that each country had its own territorial god. And they figured that they better find out quickly what the God of Israel demands. Because he seems to be very angry. 27. Then the king of Assyria gave this order. "Have one of the priests you took captive from Samaria go back to live there and teach the people what the God of the land requires." The Assyrians have no idea that the God of Israel is the one and only God of the world. They think the only people who must obey God are those who live within the Holy Land borders. Verse 28. So one of the priests who had been exiled from Samaria came to live in Bethel and taught them how to worship the Lord. This man was not a true priest of God. He had been a leader in the worship of those golden calves. So who knows what manner of worship services he led. 29. Nevertheless, each national group made its own gods in the several towns where they settled, and set them up in the shrines the people of Samaria had made at the high places. Nothing much changed, as you can see. Nothing much changed in the north from when the Israelites were there. It was a country filled with false gods, and this priest that they brought back from Assyria and settled in Bethel. He was supposed to teach the Assyrians in the land how to worship God. Well, if he would have been a true priest of God and a faithful minister of God, the first thing he would have said was, well, you get rid of every other god, and you smash down all these pagan altars, and you dedicate yourself to the one true God. But he probably didn't even believe that. You can't give somebody what you don't have yourself. That's why it's so very important for preachers, ministers, to be sold out to God, to be filled with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Verse 30. The men from Babylon made Sukkoth-Benoth. The men from Kuta made Nergal. The men from Hamath made Ashima. The Avites made Nibzah and Tartak. And the Sepharvites burned their children in the fire as sacrifices to Adrammelech and Anammelech, the gods of Sepharvah. They worshiped the Lord, the Bible says. They worshiped the Lord. But they also appointed all sorts of their own people to officiate for them as priests in the shrines and at the high places. These verses just list the various gods that the people in the northern kingdom of Israel worshiped. The people who Assyria imported into that area. They had a real mixture in their religion. They feared God in a way, and in their minds they tried to put him a little bit higher than the other gods that they worshiped, because after all they thought this was his land. But it was also useless, because God does not share his glory with anyone. You either worship God and God alone, or you don't. It's all or nothing. 33, they worship the Lord, but they also serve their own gods in accordance with the customs of the nations from which they had been brought. They are behaving the way the Israelites they conquered behaved. And no difference between the Assyrians who moved in and the Israelites who had moved out. Verse 34, to this day they persist in their former practices. They neither worship the Lord nor adhere to the decrees and ordinances, the laws and commands that the Lord gave the descendants of Jacob, whom he named Israel. They tried to have it both ways, but that sort of thing does not work with God. He demands our total allegiance. 35. When the Lord made a covenant with the Israelites, he commanded them, do not worship any other gods or bow down to them, serve them or sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt with mighty power and outstretched arms, is the one you must worship. To him you shall bow down, and to him offer sacrifices. You must always be careful to keep the decrees and ordinances, the laws and the commands he wrote for you. Do not worship other gods. So you see, God made it clear to Israel, he is not at all open-minded when it comes to putting someone or something else before him. He is not open-minded about that. I mean, whether you call it a god or not, it doesn't matter. If it's more important to you than Almighty God, if you think about it more, if it's more valuable to you, if it's more precious to you, then it is a personal idol, whether you call it a god or not. 38. Do not forget the covenant I have made with you, and do not worship other gods. Rather, worship the Lord your God. It is he who will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. Fear God alone. That is the message. He is the only one we should be concerned about pleasing. If we please God the right way, then we'll treat others the right way, and God will bless. But fear God alone. That's the major issue. Everything else will fall into place concerning our relationship with others if we do that. 40. They would not listen, however, but persisted in their former practices. In other words, they claimed to belong to God, but they didn't act like it. 41. Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols. To this day, their children and grandchildren continue to do as their fathers did. That's the real tragedy. Those who do not put God first and worship Him alone should think about the wrong message they are sending others. They should understand how they may contribute to the damnation of their own children. Next time, chapter 18. Until then, so long, everyone.